Last week, Claire began sharing something about her prayer life. She talked about her anxiety in prayer, trying to get it right, basically, thinking of all the things that she should bring to God when she prays. And that caused a little bit of anxiety in her, a bit of worrying about doing it right, and maybe many of us can connect with that. I'm sure we have done as she spoke. There isn't a right and a wrong way. God is delighted when we turn to Him and pray. But we do have the experience of Christians who have gone before us. We have the experience of what's written in Scripture. And above all, we have the teaching of Jesus in what we call the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples asked Jesus, how should they pray? Why did they ask that? They'd seen Jesus praying. They'd seen Him going to quiet places and in communion with the Father. And I think they wanted it. They wanted it. It was different to what they had known. And so they asked Jesus, what should they do? So this series is, of course, based on the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to read the Lord's Prayer together now. We're going to put it up on a slide. And we're going to read it fairly slowly, because sometimes familiarity can mean we miss the depth and the meaning, can't it? So let's read it together, let's say it and pray it together, but let's do it really quite slowly. I'll lead us, so hopefully that'll help to get the pace. So let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. There's power in those words. And they bring us back to understanding what prayer is about. Now, this series picks up, this is not to get too much into method, but it couldn't be simpler to think of prayer, narrow it down, pray, and think about those four words and what they might stand for us to help us as we approach God in prayer. The first one is pause. That was very much last week, what Claire was talking about, and the ways of just being still. Before, just being still, just stopping rushing around, just stopping your mind rushing around and coming into the presence of God. R is for rejoice, which is today's theme. You'll hear a number of different words used around it. We've said praise, we've said adoration briefly, and that will be mentioned as well later. So today is R for rejoice. Next one is A for ask. We need, of course, to ask for forgiveness if there are things that we need to seek forgiveness for, as we've just read. We need to pray and ask for needs of others and for ourselves. And Y is for yield, or you might just say yes. Children, maybe yes is just easier to get hold of. To say yes to God, meaning thy will be done. Ultimately, it's God's will, not ours. The Apostle Paul ends his letter to the church in Philippi with these words. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then in case they hadn't got it, he says, I will say it again, rejoice. He's instructed them on many things, and some of them quite difficult things, teaching them not to grumble, to be in unity together. He's encouraged them to be humble and to live in unity. But he ends by saying, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. He's confident that what God has done in his own life and in theirs. There are difficult things in life, many trials, but he says, rejoice. He says, God is sovereign. God is bigger than all these things. And I guess what that also means is that he knows what's going on in the world and in your world, and he sustains all things and he is fulfilling his purposes. So rejoice. We're going to have a break for tea and coffee now. As we do that, a couple of questions. I'm going to put them on the screen for us to think about and to chat about. And last week we didn't do this, we're going to do it this week. When we come back, just love to hear a bit of feedback from some of you of the answers to those questions. In doing this, we connect with it. We really do start to connect with it fully. So that's the idea. So here are the two questions. What do you thank God for? Jenny asked us earlier, what did we thank God for last week? Try and make it a little bit bigger. What do you thank God for in your life? And secondly, how do you say thank you to God? How do you express it? How do you express that appreciation to God for all that he has done in your life? How do you do that? So those two things, what do you thank God for? How do you say thank you to God? On this one. Yeah. Great. Can we be gathering back together again now? Going to watch a clip from the video series. It's the second session in the video series. Just a short clip now. And listen out for two particular things that Pete Gregg has to say.
When we're talking about developing a disciplined, deepening prayer life, in our own personal quiet times or in church prayer meetings, it's a good idea to start with adoration. It's like, obviously, the microscope here, the telescope here. It's easy to spend most of our lives just staring through a microscope, kind of obsessing about ourselves and our own little concerns and how we're feeling and what we're thinking. But there's a really, really big world out there and a very big God who made the cosmos. And I think when we worship, it's a bit like we swap the microscope for the telescope. It changes everything. When you stare up at the stars at night, anyone who's not completely weird worships. No one stares up at the stars and thinks, aren't I amazing? Right. You get lost in something bigger than who you are. And Jesus tells us to start prayer with that attitude, remembering that God is God. That he's holy, that he's our Father in heaven, that he loves us, and not just to kind of like fill our shopping carts with requests and ram them against heaven's gates. That's not really prayer, because this is relational, not transactional. God isn't just some big slot machine in the sky waiting for us to, you know, put in our prayers to get an answer.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot like when our two boys were quite little and I'd just finished writing one of the books. I was exhausted and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. There was a pub at the time near our house that had two vital ingredients that I'd been thinking about. One was a big leather sofa. I just wanted to zonk out in that sofa. And the other was swings and slides for the kids. So we arrived there and I said to the boys, you know, go forth, behold, the Lord has provided. Take as long as you want. And I just collapsed into the sofa. And the boys ran towards the door, and I saw one of them go out to the door, and I could see through the window. He ran towards the swings and the slides. But the other one got to the door, and he watched his brother, and then he looked back, and he walked back towards me really slowly. And I thought, well, you know, what does he want? And he looked up at me, and he just, these big eyes, he just said this thing that sucked the air out of the room. He said, Daddy, I missed you.
Oh.
And climbed into my arms, put his arms around my neck, and he just stayed there for a long time, just breathing in time with his dad. And at that moment, he didn't become more my son than the one outside on the swings, right? And I didn't start to love him more than the other one, but I can't tell you how much his act of unnecessary affection ministered to my weary father's heart.
Wow.
And I think that maybe is a little bit of a picture of adoration. It's this coming to the Father not to get something from him, but to give our love and our affection to him. It's kind of about being rather than doing. And so this is an understanding that prayer is primarily about intimacy and presence. In fact, the Book of Common Prayer that was written in 1662 says, this is a great definition of adoration. It says, adoration is the lifting of the heart and the mind to God, asking nothing but to enjoy God's presence.
Two things. I hope you did. The first one clearly is this little illustration of microscope and telescope. And the second about the intimacy, about the relationship. The microscope and the telescope sort of remind me about photographic sort of images of these things. And I love photographs, many people do these days, and we've got an image on the slide here. It reminds me of two aspects of camera photography, which is the lens scope that we have. So macro photography, when you go really, really close with a camera lens, not as close as a microscope does, but really close. So you see an insect like that, it's just remarkable what you see, even the little droplets of water and then the eyes. I don't know what that is, somebody might know, but extraordinary, isn't it, how close you get. And then the other one is what's called the fisheye lens, which gives you this wide perspective, this widest possible view of something. That's the roofscape of Dubai, amazing. So Peter's talking about this broader perspective, that we don't just focus so closely on ourselves. Let's look wider, let's look bigger, let's look beyond ourselves and see what we see. And there are many ways that we can do that. There are many other images, and I'm going to put some images on the screen in a moment. Some of us like to go to the hills, the lakes, the mountains, the rivers, the seas. Look at the sky. The whole canopy of what God has created, that wow that he talked about earlier. And one of the ways that we can do that, one of the ways that we can just capture this, is by reading words that others have written. And open the book of Psalms, and you'll see many psalms that speak in this way. And I'm going to read, as I scroll through, a few images on the screen here from Psalm 8. And it goes like this. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. What is man that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet, all the flocks and herds, all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The image that is here, I don't know if anyone, I'm sure you've seen this. This is a James Webb telescope image. The images we're getting back now from this telescope are absolutely astounding. The clouds are referred to as the pillars of creation. They're hydrogen structures of gas and dust teeming with stars in the Eagle Nebula. Like words I've never heard of, actually. In the Serpent's constellation. 6,500 light years from Earth. It's just beyond our imagining. But if our God is only a God that's just close to us and this narrow field of vision that we've got, we're missing that. And beyond that, God is greater. The second illustration was of his son, Pete's son, running to his arms because he wanted to be close to his dad. And surely that illustration speaks volumes to us about the relationship God wants with us. He wants us to run into his arms. When the disciples heard Jesus say the words of the Lord's Prayer that we read earlier, they would have been shocked. They had heard God spoken of as Father, but not in the way that Jesus does. And they weren't praying the way Jesus was praying, hence their question. What he was describing was this close relationship, like a loving father to his son or daughter. And Jesus uses the word Abba, Aramaic for the word father, to describe that relationship. And the disciples hear him speak to God in prayer using the word Abba. You could also translate it into our language as daddy or papa. His relationship with God the Father was so close. And of course, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. A unique relationship between Jesus and God the Father, but nevertheless describing this closeness of loving relationship that God wants for us. And how is that possible? The Apostle Paul said this. He said, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. There's a work of the Holy Spirit that is within us that helps us in our relationship with God the Father. There are many things that we put in the way. There are many things in our minds that we say about God, about his character, that prevent us from seeing God in this way. But that's how God sees us. And the Spirit in us resonates and connects and draws out the possibility of that closeness of relationship. And the Spirit helps us in other ways. I'll just briefly touch on this on the slide. Many of you will know this Bible reference. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do know not what we ought to pray. So even the words of prayer, even the heart response, the prompting of prayer, we're not always sure what we should be praying for. But the Spirit in us helps us in that. So this relationship, this closeness of relationship, given as an example really of a child to a parent, is something children, you should all grasp as early as possible. And adults, if we've lost it, if we've forgotten it or not experienced it, to discover it and to know it. And does that closeness remind you of something? Another story in the Bible, I rather suspect it does, the one of the two sons. We often call it the prodigal son. And the image that I want to put on the screen is one created by Charlie Mackesy, author of The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse. And he has painted this image many, many, many times to try to get to this, to the heart of what that response of the father to the lost son was as he returned home and as the father waited and waited and waited every day for the son to come home. And he's captured it here. The father wrapping his arms around his son, holding his son above the ground. His whole being is sustained by the father. It's a beautiful, beautiful image. And it's an image of love. And here's another sketch that he's done. Simply says this, life is difficult, but you are loved. Our impression of how God sees us can be a problem. Maybe that needs to be modified in us. If we see God as someone who is disappointed in us, disapproving of us, unwilling to hear from us, then we're kind of unlikely to be too keen to approach him in prayer. But that's not how he sees us. That's not how he sees us. As we come to express our praise and adoration, in whatever the circumstances we find ourselves, we discover that God delights in us choosing to come into his presence. He always welcomes, always accepts, always his offer of unconditional love is there for us. And that's it. That's what God has done for us and made possible for us. And we're blessed with the Spirit that helps us in that relationship. But you might be saying, what if I don't feel like rejoicing? What if I don't feel like praising God, giving thanks to God, adoring his name? Well, the prayer course is very practical. And it has this section towards the back in the book, but also on the video series called the toolkit, just a catchy way of suggesting it. And there he comes up with a number of ideas of things that we can do that will help us to get started in this phase of our prayer. We've come and we've paused, but then we are needing to reach this place of praise and worship and rejoicing. And I'm not going to go through these in detail. I'm going to list them up here. I might just explain one or two of them. Jenny referred to awaking my soul at the beginning. Absolutely. That's exactly his first one that he suggests. We actually need to, it needs to be an act of will sometimes. And that's okay. But we need to do it. And when we get beyond that, we realize that act of will was the right step to take. Because when we get beyond it and we sing, maybe this morning some of you came and just didn't really want to sing, just weren't in the right place to do that. But when you do, when you get into that, I think we get changed. We're changed by it. The words, the worship together as a community, as a people, change us and impact us. So awaken my soul. praying a psalm. The psalms, as we've mentioned already, are just great. They're all written there. Read them, use them in your prayer time, in your time of worship and praising God. And why not write one? You know, Judas writes to God every day. Why not write one? Write a psalm. Worship with music. He makes the point that music can lift us. Whatever type of music. It might be, obviously, Christian music, songs, hymns will help. But it might be other music that actually stimulates, that gets us to a more positive place to be. Worshipping with others, we've talked about. That's covered. Liturgy. Well, for some, the more written words, the familiar, may be of a practical help to go through words that have been carefully prepared and thought by others. Words that are familiar, but they actually take you into that place of praising God. And then finally, worshipping with your own weirdness. We kind of touched on that a little bit about how you give thanks, how you express it to God. And that, you know, there are different ways. Some of us do want to just go out into the hills, just get away. That's the way to do it. Different ways that help for you. So think about what those might be for you and pursue them. So I'm going to ask Rob to come and to pray for us now. And just to quieten our minds, quieten our hearts, and to reflect on some of what we've heard. Don't lose what God has touched your heart on this morning, to take that with you.
So let's just use this framework as a framework, just to guide our prayers. And what I'll do is, I'll guide you through this, but I will give you space to be able to make these prayers your own rather than me just praying at you. So let's pray, shall we? So we'll start by stilling ourselves before God. I feel like you're already quite still, but still your mind before God. Mentally lay those things aside that are racing round your head. Maybe it's about, did I put the oven on this morning? Or maybe it's more serious than that. But we just spend a small amount of time now just pausing and waiting on God. Father God, we thank you that you are here with us. We pray that as we spend time in your presence, that you make yourself known to us, draw us closer to you, hold us, Father, and help us to know that you are holding us. So we move on to rejoice. So I will say some things I'm thankful for, and I will offer the space for you to say thanks in your heart or out loud, and then we will move on. Father God, thank you so much for the provision of somewhere to live, for jobs, for food, for water, for friendship, and for families. Thank you, Lord, for this community here, this family who meet on a Sunday morning in this building. Thank you for their support, Father, and for their love. So I invite you to say your rejoicings out loud or in your heart now.